Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube and aren't subscribed, make sure and click the subscribe button, turn on notifications, like, comment. Let's know what you think about the episode. If there's a particular guest that you would like to have on, we're always checking comments on YouTube. Love to hear your guys' feedback. And then for your suggestions, get those guests or topics covered on the podcast. Today I'm going to be chatting with Gus from Yukon Gear and Axle. Wanted to ask him about re-gearing trucks, some of the other driveline parts that they make, and get a better understanding of ways we can really take advantage of gearing, not just for new trucks, but also older ones. So it's going to be a great conversation. Before we get to it, though, I want to give a shout out to a couple of our sponsors. D-Max Store. If you've got a Duramax from LB7 to L5P, these are the guys to head on over and check out. They've got a ton of different products for either maintaining the truck or if you need better performance out of it, whether it's pertaining to the engine, transmission, driveline, basically anything on that truck. They're Duramax enthusiasts, so if you're looking for some guidance, some help in making your truck run better, head on over to D-Max Store or call them at 877-4MY-DMAX. Also, our friends at Kershaw Knives have a 20% off discount code for you. Use code 20diesel at kershaw.kaiusa.com. Great way to save some money on some cool gear, whether they need something for EDC or hunting, fishing, just something to have at the job site around the house. They've got something for any budget and a bunch of new products that hit the market in 2023. We did an episode with them a few months back. They gave us a rundown of some new things that were coming out, and you guys have sent me some really cool pictures of some gear you've gotten, save some money along the way. So definitely make sure and take advantage of that discount code if you're in the market. All right, let's get to today's podcast with Gus from Yukon Gear and Axle, talking about gearing for our trucks. Gus, welcome to the Diesel Podcast. I'm looking forward to chatting with you today. There's a lot of gearing questions that we kind of compile throughout the year, and I couldn't think of a better person to ask than you. I know you've been doing this a really long time, so it's a pleasure to chat with you today. Look forward to learning more.
Yeah, I've been doing this since 2003. That's when I started back with Randy's Ring and Pinion. Now I'm the technical support director for Yukon Gear and Axle and do the training and all the rest of that, yeah.
Oh, cool. I'll have a ton of questions for you then.
Perfect.
Start out with, there's a lot of, over the last couple of years, a lot of people who have been newer to diesel that have been getting into them, and they might not be familiar with you guys. What would you want to tell them about the company history, where you guys started, and the things that you guys specialize in?
Well, company started about 40 years ago. Randy Lyman started in his garage up here in the Northwest. We've continue to grow and evolve over the years. We're all a bunch of enthusiasts and stuff. We all build stuff, we all hot rod, we all are very passionate about our jobs. So everybody that works for the company is very hands-on, very performance oriented and stuff, so we all relate. We're not just a bunch of desk jockeys or paper pushers or anything like that. So we all have the same passion for our jobs is what our customers do. So it makes it real easy to relate to the customers.
When the company started, what vehicles did it specialize in? Because when I think of diesel performance, I think of it something kind of newer than Jeeps and race cars and things like that.
Well, the company started, like I said, out of Randy's garage. It was just kind of initially doing differential repair and stuff like that, primarily light duty automotive domestic type stuff. So your general automotive car, truck, Chevy, Ford, Dodge, and of course, as some of the imports kind of gain in popularity, like Toyotas and stuff, we pick those up. Everybody that's got a performance car or truck or Jeep or anything like that, almost everybody's got a tow rig to haul it with. So yeah. It's kind of a natural occurrence there.
Is that where the diesel stuff started? Was the guys hauling their Jeeps and stuff out there to to the mountains or desert, and they needed some gearing.
Yeah, and stock stuff, for the most part, most are geared, you know, for corporate average fuel economy rather than for actual towing performance. So for most guys, you know, stock gearing, as long as the truck is stock, is still kind of as good as, or isn't as good as it could be. And then you go and you get, of course, everybody that's performance oriented. We're all throwing bigger tires on, more weight, everything else. So re-gearing becomes even more paramount, more important to do. So
I thought of a question to ask you there, because our audience is really diverse with the year range of trucks that they own. And I'm thinking back to like the older ones, like say 03, 05, 07, basically pre-2007 and a half. And the gearing that they would need or want for those older trucks compared to the newer ones, where it seems like the entire truck is built around these emissions components that are on it, the fuel economy that's there, the way the transmissions are geared. Is it really different, the type of, I'd say, gearing solutions you would offer somebody with, you know, a 2003 versus a 2022?
Yeah, you do get a little bit of a difference. I mean, when I think older, and 2003 to me is still relatively new. I've been in diesel performance game since the late 80s, early 90s. So I think all the way back to, you know, the early, like the old naturally aspirated 6.2 diesels, the old early 12 valve VE pumps, all that kind of stuff. So for those guys, gearing is very critical when you have such a narrow operating RPM range and stuff. So you get the, you know, a VE pump truck for the Cummins guys, where, you know, those things stock, they only rev to 2500 RPM. So when you're talking about a 2000 RPM operating range, basically from idle to red line where you're pulling fuel, you really got to watch your gearing and stuff. Whereas when you get it up into the newer trucks and you start adding more ratios to the transmissions, you get higher rev limiters, everything else, gearing is still very important, because, but it's more because your power band moves a little bit higher up in the RPM range. So you get the guys, like the coming guys, like love the fact that, you know, the old 12 valves used to just absolutely grunt, and they loved running empty at 1000 RPM. Nowadays, the turbos and everything else aren't designed and with a volumetric efficiency range down in that RPM range. They want to be turning up in the 1900, 2000 RPM range to get up into the volumetric efficiency, keep everything cool, everything else. So that's very important.
I was thinking of something that, you know, when I think of gearing, there's two things that mainly come to mind. One is the guy that's lifted his truck, or two is somebody who's racing. But I think the third category is probably where the majority of people are, which is you have a stock or very close to stock truck, but you want to improve getting that trailer moving or just that slower speed acceleration. I wanted to focus on that for a second. What sort of benefits would you get from, yes, I'm just thinking back to the older, like pre-2007 and a half trucks, so 4-speed transmission, maybe 5-speed, and they've got, you know, factory 373s or something else. What can you gain by re-gearing a truck that's made to daily drive, you know, just like towing, hauling, things like that, and changing those ratios?
Well, probably the biggest things that you see is you get better engine longevity and better EGT control, and that kind of thing. So by getting the motor into the RPM range where it's designed to run and it's got good volumetric efficiency, it gets you up to where, you know, you get proper exhaust gas flow, you get proper airflow through the intake side of it. More important, you get things like coolant flow, oil control, everything else. So not, you know, oil temps are important to everybody, not just the Ford guys with their old Huey injectors and stuff like that. But those guys see the huge benefits because, you know, a Huey injector being oil controlled injection, when your oil temps aren't staying in control, you see accelerated injector wear, you see hard start issues, you see a lot of varnish buildup. You see all those kinds of things. And if you get the RPMs up, you get everything cooling properly. You can control water and oil temperatures a lot better, along with, of course, the very obvious, everybody focuses on EGT control. So
that probably becomes even more important when somebody does go to larger tires and a lift kit and they still got the stock gearing. That probably, that difference is probably a lot. Yeah, definitely something you'd notice.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you get guys down even like a Texas, California, you know, hot areas, Arizona, where you get even just subtle improvements, such as even just AC performance. You know, you get that thing up where it's moving some RPM, you get the fan moves more air through the cooling system, your AC blows colder, you know, it's more comfortable to drive.
Do you find with, you know, day to day and talking with shops and people who call in, that they're starting to understand how important or how much benefit they can get from gearing? Because a step back for a second, when I think of my journey in diesel performance and being a diesel truck owner, I always thought, well, I should probably regear my truck. I'm trying to do something different with it. But it was almost like an afterthought, like 10 years ago. It was something, I want to do the turbo, I want to do the injectors, I want to do the tuning first. Do I really want to spend the money on gears and have it done? Whereas I kind of find now that people are much more receptive to the benefits that it can provide, the way it can make a truck run better or perform better if it's, you know, something at the track.
Yeah, people are definitely waking up to it a lot more. You know, the gearing always had a lot of voodoo involved with it, you know, a lot of mysticism involved. And people are really starting to understand that doing a complete package where everything works in harmony really gets them a lot better results faster and better dependability all the way around. So yeah, it definitely does pay big benefits.
And when somebody calls in and they've got, you know, a truck and they're running, you know, 37s or 40s or whatever tire size it might be, what's the process that you guys go through to be able to line them up with what they need, making sure that it meets either their expectations for daily driving or towing or however they're using it? I just know a lot of newer people or people unfamiliar with gearing and the ratios can get almost intimidated or really confused by, you know, what do I want 456s? Do I want this other ratio? What do I really need to be happy with the truck?
Well, we've done a ton of different spreadsheets, Excel programs and stuff like that to help us with the journey and stuff. You know, we start with the basics of where do you live? Because the guy in Texas that drives 90 everywhere, or guy in Florida that has zero hills and drives 90 everywhere, is not going to want to gear the same way as the guy that's at, you know, mile elevation up in Colorado, you know, chugging over passes and everything else. You know, same thing with the guys in the middle of the flatlands in the Midwest, guys in the Pacific Northwest like we are. We're lucky if we see 70 miles an hour. So, but we go from sea level to 5,000 foot elevation in 40 miles. So for us, gearing is very critical for us. You know, you get out into, like I said, Texas and stuff, where you have to compensate for the fact that they drive and the guys want to tow at 90 miles an hour, whether their trailer tires like it or not. You know, you got to take that into account. So figuring out how much they tow, where they tow, what their performance goals are, that kind of thing, along with what transmission they've got, what tire size they've got, that all plays a part, you know. And so the more information we get from the end customer, the better of an educated decision we can make. I love doing this through our live web chat that we have on our website, because then I can drag and drop screenshots of the spreadsheet that I'm working with directly into the chat, so the customer can see the actual RPM drops on a gear by gear basis and stuff, and see how that affects their power band.
I can see how that would be really helpful, because a lot of times, you like as an enthusiast, you'll know somebody and they lift their truck or do different tire size, and maybe I want to do that in the future, and they throw this set of gears in and they love it. And then I ride around with them, like, I want something a little bit different. And so I think being able to take it really on a one-by-one basis, and learning what they want to do is probably invaluable to making sure they get that right set right away.
Correct. Yeah. You know, and being performance enthusiasts, you know, a lot of guys on the forums, they'll have probably do one gear change ever. So they know what they went and they researched and that's what they did, and they're happy with it. Whether they went with their recommendation, somebody else's recommendation, just what they read on the internet, what have you. And a lot of times it's kind of re-educating what some of the misconceptions are on the internet and stuff. So, yeah.
That's what's fun about doing a podcast and chatting with as many people as I can about different topics is really the education part, because it, you know, you think of a truck and there's so many different components to it, and then everyone's individual wants or needs are different, and it can be tough to find that information. So I always like to go right to the source and be able to ask you guys questions, which is what we did before this podcast. Is I'd posted up and said, hey, what kind of gearing questions that, you know, do you guys have? So I wanted to ask you a few of those, and then I'm sure I'll have some more as we chat here a little bit, but I thought these would be really good. One guy asked, are all gears the same, or do companies use different materials? So I think, you know, when we think about turbos, we got cast wheels, billet wheels, and, you know, different types of things, and we're kind of conditioned to ask that question. But when it comes to gears, is it kind of all the same material, or is there separation between choices that are out there between, you know, one type of material that one place uses and then, you know, versus another place?
Yeah, pretty much every manufacturer has their own secret sauce or their secret recipe as far as the metallurgy of the gear sets. A lot of them are very similar, but not only do you get differences in the metallurgy, so, you know, just small changes in silicone or moly or, you know, chromium or zinc or any of the rest of those that affect it, but you also get differences in the heat treatment as well as the final machining processes that are involved. So, yeah, you can have even something where the metallurgy is very similar, you can get dramatically different end result just by different heat treatment processes. So you can.
I was just thinking, how would that show itself, say, in a hard use application, or maybe it's not even hard use, like with heat treatment and machining? Would it be like a premature failure that somebody may see, or would it be more extreme use, you know, this formulation, let's call it A, can withstand, or what is the difference that the truck owner may see based on those differences?
It's a balancing act. So for like a performance use, like a sled pull truck, you would generally actually want a softer gear set. So something that's a little bit more ductile. So it takes those shock loads, it takes the impacts, it takes the deformation of a sustained high load, you know, dragging a 40,000 pound sled, or, you know, when you get the wheel hop at the end of the track and you're on some hard clay and it wants to just chatter and stuff. That takes a whole different level of heat treatment and stuff versus the guy with a tow rig. A tow rig guy is going to want a hard gear, but he doesn't want it so hard that it becomes brittle. Whereas the guy that's just an average street guy, you know, you can get away with a little bit harder of a gear, give it a lot longer lifespan. You know, think of it back, a decade or two ago, back when everybody was coming up with their secret sauces for transmission input shafts on their automatics.
Yeah.
You know, 300M became, you know, for about a year became the ultimate input shaft. And then everybody realized, oh, that sucks for the tow rig because it becomes too brittle. So same thing with a gear set. You can get too brittle and too hard and too strong, and it can't deflect to absorb torque or the shock loads or the vibration.
That makes perfect sense. That's a really good analogy. We cover transmissions a lot on the podcast. Yes. And shock load and different challenges that different trucks have. And when you were mentioning the process of depending on what they're doing with the truck, whether you want a little softer, a little harder, and people call into you guys, is that something where somebody calls in and they've got a 3,000 plus horsepower sled pulling truck and they need a set of gears? You guys can offer them a solution versus somebody says, hey, I put 100,000 miles a year on my truck, I'm towing trailers all over the country, I need something for my vehicle?
For some applications, yes, there are sometimes special gear sets available. So pro gears, which are going to be your soft gears, are generally going to be made out of a different metal than the typical street gear and everything that we normally would sell. Street gears and tow rig gears, for the most part, are going to be very similar. Okay. You do get, like on some of the newer vehicles, like the GMs and the Dodges with that giant 12-inch rear that's available and stuff, because that's designed right from the get-go as just an absolute tow monster, the heat treatment is going to wind up being a little bit different than, say, your average 11.5-inch AAM axle, where it's going to see multiple purposes. Same thing, some of the older Dana axles and stuff like that. There are some pro gears in ratios that are going to be specific to performance applications. For the guys that are super deep, sled pull gears and stuff, 620s, 589, stuff like that. Those typically will also wind up having an increased spline count on the pinion shaft. So going to, say, a 35 spline pinion shaft, as well as the larger axles and everything else.
I'm starting to see how there's not all gears are the same. There's a lot of different choices out there and things like that.
There is.
We had another listener ask a question. He said, when changing gears, do you still use a factory differential fluid, or is it going to change? Do I need to use additives? Is there anything different I need to do with my maintenance schedule?
For the most part, oils are going to follow factory guidelines for 99% of users. Oil viscosity and stuff is going to be more load and temperature dependent. So, you know, you get the guys down in Death Valley, down in Arizona, down in Texas and stuff, where they have to run a thicker oil. Otherwise, that stuff turns to water. You get the guys up in Minnesota and the Dakotas and Canada and stuff, where they see frigid cold. And those guys are going to be running, the 80-90 most of the time. And 80-90 will cover, I would say, probably 90-95% of most people in the country. It's just the guys down those super, super hot climates where you really have to watch going to a thicker oil. As far as additives, additives will be dependent mostly on what you run for a carrier. So if you've got a stock style posi, then yeah, stock fluids will meet that goal. If you're running an aftermarket limited slip, a lot of the aftermarket ones run composite clutches instead of the paper clutches like the factory ones do. And so those require specific additives.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to ask that once we get into some of the other parts that make up a differential and other things, which I'm sure we'll get to here on the podcast. I thought it was a really good question, and it kind of led into the next one, which is heat in the differential. I know differential covers are really popular for a bunch of different reasons, but is that something from your guys' perspective that is needed? Are there any drawbacks? Is it, you know, just completely up to the truck owner if they want to run something other than a factory style diff cover?
For a tow rig, heat dissipation is really important. Yes. Gear oil is designed to work in about on an average daily driver, not towing, you're going to be in the 170 to 200 degree range. Guys towing, depending on how heavy you're towing and the area, you know, if it's hills, what have you, that's going to be in the 200 to 225 degree range. Generally, most gear oils start to break down about the 250 degree range. So once you start getting much over that temperature, yeah, oil control and temperature control becomes very critical. So finned covers work great for helping to dissipate the heat. The high volume covers realistically don't do a whole lot. Volume only delays the temperature increase. So, you know, you're heating up an extra quart or two of oil, but it's still going to get to the same temperature. So it kind of doesn't really help that much to increase capacity.
I got you. That makes sense. Yeah, that was a good question. And I think, you know, as truck owners, we always want to protect our investment, especially, you know, how expensive they are. Even if they're not new, the used market has definitely gone up a ton. So we want to try to avoid certain failures and things like that, you know, if at all possible. kind of on that same line is I was browsing around on your guys' website and I was looking at different gears, different ratios. I saw a ton of other stuff that you guys do. And I wanted to have you chat with us a little bit about that. And I know some of it will probably bleed over into Jeeps and other types of vehicles. But as you said, these guys are towing these things with diesel trucks. And so I was curious what other stuff that you guys offer.
Well, trying to stay, you know, relatively diesel related to fit your guys' crowd. Some of the most popular stuff that we do, like for the Dodge trucks, is our free spin kit. So that gets rid of the factory unit bearings. It allows you to convert to a live spindle, gives you a locking hub so you can unlock it. I find that, yeah, you do get a fuel economy improvement. Yes, you do have decreased wear and tear on the front end and everything. It steers easier. What I love the most about it is that for us diesel guys, we can go and when you're moving a trailer around in the yard and stuff, you can throw that thing in four low. You can unlock your hubs and you now have two-wheel drive low range. So you can back up trailers. You can move real slowly and stuff like that. It's amazing the difference that makes for just usability of your truck. Or if you're in the Northwest like me and you sit in traffic all day, you can sit there, put it in four low and with the hubs unlocked, and you can sit there and not have to give your leg a workout, pumping the clutch and everything. You know, you got a big heavy iron giant triple disc or something like that with a 3,500 pound plate or more, you know, you walk in circles with that big left leg.
That's why I'm an automatic guy. So I just have two pedals to press.
Yeah. Other things that we offer, we of course do chromoly axle shafts for both front and rear and most of the solid axle applications. So your Fords and Dodges, we do chromoly axles for. The GMs, we do them for the rear. We don't do any chromos for the front. We got traction devices, whether it be upgraded limited slips. We've got mechanical lockers for the sled pull guys and the performance guys. We have spools for some applications. We got big spline kits to go from, say, a stock 30 spline on an AAM axle up to a giant 37 spline. We can do 37 spline and Dana axles, all kinds of stuff like that. Then, of course, with the family of brands like from Randy's Worldwide that covers Yukon gear and axle and stuff, we also have stuff like Carly suspension, so you can make your truck ride better. We've got Icon Vehicle Dynamics that they do a lot of different suspension stuff, shocks, control arms. Got a killer Raptor kit that just got dropped. And then, of course, all of the normal cheap stuff and that kind of stuff.
Awesome. That'll give people what's so cool about it is I see like a complete solution where regardless of what I'm doing, or a lot of people have multiple trucks and or, you know, race truck or something like that, and they're towing it with, you know, a newer diesel, is just being able to address the upgrades for different ones and just being able to, I think, find basically like one place I can go and get all the solutions I need as it pertains to gearing, axles, things like that. And I see so much of that in diesel. I'm sure you have. You've been around it, you know, a lot longer than I have. The guys with the sled pull trucks, what they're towing it with, or, you know, the racing guys are just wanting to get a little bit more performance, you know, out of it. And something, it cracked me up when we were, you know, planning this episode. He said, hey, let's do it at this time, 'cause you're not going to want to hear me over the straight pipe Cummins. And I thought, well, that's like the song of my people. I love that sound. Like that's what got me hooked on Cummins way back in the day. So I wanted to ask you about your truck, you know, a little bit, what year it is, what upgrades, you know, things you've done to it to make it, you know, your own, make it enjoyable.
So my current truck is going to be an 08 Ram 2500. It's got a mildly built 6.7 in it, 68 RFE truck. Trans has been completely gone through. It's got billet channel plate. It's got all the servo updates. Big basket, big overdrive, big shafts, the whole nine yards there. Got an upgraded transfer case in there. Rear axle is set up with chromo shafts, locker. Front axle is got our free spin kick, chromo shafts. I'm putting on this week a 2.5-inch Carly pin top kit with Deaver springs in the back, King shocks all the way around. You know, going to make it, go fast in the whoops and stuff too. So,
so is it something? You know, when did you get hooked on diesel? I'm always really curious because the stories are so unique with our guests. What got them hooked? And, you know, like you'd mentioned the 6.2s and the 6.5s, and that was a little bit before my time. Like my first kind of knowledge, or when I knew a truck was different, was I think like the second gens, like the 94s when they came out. And I really liked how they looked, and I started to pay attention because they were a lot louder than what I'd hear from the ass trucks. And from there, it kind of progressively grew to, oh man, I love the third gen body style. I love the sound of this. And then I got into them with an 0.867. That was my first one. Okay. That was when I was ready to, you know, finally take the plunge. But what got you hooked on it?
So I originally got into diesels because I needed to find a way to feed my, I guess you could say, adrenaline addiction without going fast is what my thought was.
Yeah.
I sort of lost my driver's license for going a little too fast. So I needed to find a way to slow down. So I fell in love with an 87 K5 Blazer with a 6.2 in it. Figured that was going to be the perfect rig for me to play around with. I could, you know, put around, get good fuel economy. This is back in the late 80s and stuff. Fuel was still 75 cents a gallon. And it was great. And then the performance bit me. And so I was taking that 6.2 naturally aspirated diesel, and I built a full tilt Arctic pump on it. Started feeding it with a little bit of propane. Started getting a little too hot with just propane, so I started feeding a little bit of nitrous on top of that to cool it back down. A little bit more fuel, a little bit more propane, a little bit more nitrous. Then I couldn't keep trannies together, so then was going through the whole tranny deal back in the early 90s and building that up. Eventually, I had a 6-bolt Alice converter that was reconfigured to fit in there, so converters would stay together. And it was a K5 Blazer on 35s back in the 90s that would run 12s.
Wow. That was moving back then.
With no turbo. So I sort of defied all the laws and stuff. And, finally a truck got totaled, got T-boned in an intersection, put my diesel attic on hold for a few years. Then I wound up with an 03 Dodge. Back in 04, started hopping that thing up, set of big injectors, big turbo, big single turbo, NB 5600 truck. So was working with the South Bend clutch and stuff, playing with double disc clutches and stuff on that. Kind of got back into it and went in deep. Back in the early 2000s, it was about a 700 horse daily driver. So that was pretty good numbers for back then.
Oh yeah. Well, it still is for something to daily drive and keep some of that reliability there that I think is at the heart of why we all want these trucks. It's like the power you can make with it, the reliability for, you know, a ton of miles. And that's what's so cool about hearing the stories is, you know, what kind of got us into it. And I'm sure there's going to be some guys listening that are into 6.2s and 6.5s, and they'll always ask people, get somebody on to talk about performance of it, what you can do with it. So now you're my guy, Gus. So
okay, I'm out.
Well, that's it for today's podcast.
Yeah.
It was really cool to chat with you. And like I said, it's something that's been really fascinating for me to be able to follow is the process of people becoming more aware of, hey, I can do a lot with gearing, and on, you know, these newer trucks being able to take advantage of the tremendous power and the torque that they make, and really all the, I think, innovation, you know, that's gone into them and being able to gain, you know, things with it. And it's something that can be kind of intimidating and confusing when we're just looking at it. But I think the system you guys have set up is really, it's really there to, you know, make sure that we get the gears that we need, that, you know, we call you guys up, mm-hmm. give you the, specifications, what we're trying to do. And then you guys kind of take it from there and set us up with, you know, a complete solution. So that's going to give a lot of us some things to think about and make sure we get our trucks running how we want to.
Yeah. And I think my biggest thing that most people are scared of is RPM. Everybody's got that misconception that, you know, it's got to be like the old 12 valve Cummins and stuff, and you got to be going down the road at a slow of an RPM. And that's just not true. You know, especially with the way that they're able to do active timing tables and, you know, multiple injection events and everything on late model diesels and stuff, you really can get those things to where they're much more efficient, a little bit higher up in the RPM range and stuff. And it doesn't hurt fuel the way that everybody thinks it does. So, you know, re-gearing and getting those things, turning a few RPMs, really isn't as scary as a lot of people think it is.
What if people got some questions, they want to reach out to you guys and you know, ask questions specific to their build, what's the best way to get a hold of you guys or be able to do the live chat like you mentioned and be able to just learn more and get set up the right way?
Yeah, go on to yukongear.com. We've got a live web chat that's works 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. So pretty much anytime I'm in the office, I'm on it. We can go over, you know, gearing. We can do throw spreadsheets at you. We can throw different tables and everything else, and we can work through it with you. That's the best route because it's real time. You're really interacting with a live person. You know, it's not like calling Comcast and getting on their web chat and, you know, hoping that you get somebody that understands how to translate.
Yeah. Well, you guys are enthusiasts, so you're going to know what people want and the questions they're going to ask. And I think that's really going to benefit them when they're, you know, looking to regear their truck. And like I mentioned, I appreciate you taking time today to chat with us, answer the questions our listeners had, and, you know, help educate me as well, learn more about them. And I'm sure I'll have questions for you guys whenever I get to that point that I'm ready to do some of that, you know, low speed adrenaline stuff that you were talking about. That's that's fun. So definitely reach out to you guys.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, yeah, have a good rest of your evening, Gus, and I'm sure we'll be in touch, you know, in the future. I'll let you know if, you know, on the podcast, people have other questions and, you know, I'll send you an email and bug you, but it was really cool chatting with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Feel free to reach out to me anytime.
Don't forget, diesel fans, make sure and head on over to dmaxstore.com or give them a shout at 877-4-MY-DMAX. If you own a Duramax looking to do some upgrades or just make sure it's running the best it can, those guys can definitely get you taken care of. Also, our friends at Kershaw Knives have a 20% off site-wide code for you. Just use code 20DIESEL at kershaw.kaiusa.com. Take advantage of that, get some cool gear, and save some money during the process. I want to give a shout out to some of our Patreon supporters, Tyler Lowe and a 23 Diesel, John, all of our other Patreon supporters, all of you who follow us on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, podcast apps. We appreciate the support you guys have given us. You guys are what keep us going, keep us energized to bring new content. We look forward to bringing you a ton of cool shows here in 2023.